Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone for our Sunday morning Bible study. Our brother Don Wright is away on vacation with his family today, so we'll be filling in this morning best we can. So if you would please bow with me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our dear righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this day, thanking you for the good night's rest that you provided for us. We're thankful for this Lord's Day that we are able to assemble and to study your word, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that our worship to you would be acceptable in your sight. We're thankful, Father, for your loving kindness towards us, your patience and your mercy. We're thankful, Father, for your word that leads us in the way that we should go. We pray that we would have the good sense to listen to it and to apply it and to be humble and faithful to it. We pray, Father, that you'd give us wisdom, give us understanding of your word, and help us to always apply it and be willing to serve you all the days of our life. Please be with those who are teaching this morning, be with those that are in the classes, that they would learn from your word. And we pray for our children. We pray, Lord, that they would grow up to serve you. We pray for the church in general, and we thank you for all of its members. We pray for all those that are preaching the gospel today, that the fruits of their labor would be great. Please be with us this hour. Please forgive us of our sins and go with us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I started a study on the Proverbs, and we talked last time about the importance of wisdom and how that the Scriptures do emphasize that. And we talked a little bit about Solomon and his life and the irony that was in it, and sort of the caution that we have is that wisdom by itself isn't enough for us. We still have to have humility, and we still have to remain faithful to God. Satan is out there. We have to remember that he is trying to get the church and all of its members. That's the one thing he doesn't have. And we must apply the things that we learn. We can learn about the armor of God, but unless we're willing to put it on and to learn how to use it, we will be stolen away by Satan. Satan is active among us, and that's what we must remember. But wisdom also, although James tells us to pray for it, we know that Solomon asked for it and was given it by God. But the wisdom that we can obtain isn't going to come to us miraculously. We must be willing to study the Word of God, to put forth a diligent effort to learn it and to apply it. Jeremiah said that, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know in and of ourselves how to live in order to prosper, in order to be pleasing to God. We may think we know. We may observe others and see that maybe they have success in life, what's so-called success. Solomon himself was a very successful king. If you look at it from the world's perspective, Solomon accomplished great things. During his reign, Israel had great peace, much more than his father David. During Solomon's reign, the borders of Israel expanded to their maximum amount. He fulfilled, in fact, the promise of the land that was given to Abraham. All of the borders that Israel had were reached during Solomon's reign. Solomon acquired great wealth and used it to build a great temple of God. He used his wisdom for many good things. But in the end, his fall was he disobeyed God. God had warned the Israelites not to take wives of the foreign tribes, of the foreign lands. And that's exactly what Solomon did. And the reason that Solomon The reason that God gave those commandments was to keep the people from falling away, to keep them from being influenced by the idolatry that was so prevalent among them, and that's exactly what happened to Solomon. His wives influenced him, and he began to worship these false gods. And because of that, God was displeased, and the kingdom was taken away from Solomon. And although Solomon reigned for a long time, 40 years, at the end of his reign, when his son took over in Rehoboam, the kingdom was divided, and it was never again united. So the wisdom, although it begins with a fear of the Lord, unless we keep that fear and that diligence to following God's commandments, that wisdom will be in vain. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So if you want to have wisdom, you can obtain it. And it begins by recognizing that God knows best, and that God's commandments for us are for our best. But the fool despises instruction. In Luke 8 and verse 8, at the end of the parable of the sower, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He said this often. In Revelation, at the end of each of the seven letters to the churches of Asia, this statement is read, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What did Jesus mean when he said that? Anyone? Yes, open up to the word. Hear it. When we say hear, sometimes what do we mean? Listen. Listen implies action, right? That you're going to actually do something about what you're about to hear. And that was too often the case. The people that heard the master teacher, it fell on deaf ears, right? We have that expression, deaf ears. Because they heard it and they didn't take action. They either didn't believe him, or they heard it and they just didn't do anything about it. In order for there to be a transfer of knowledge from the teacher to the student, the student must be willing to listen. Sometimes the transfer of knowledge doesn't take place because of the fault of the teacher. Maybe the teacher isn't a good teacher. Maybe he's monotone. Maybe he's talking too long. Maybe he's talking about subjects that aren't relevant. Whatever the case may be. That wasn't the case with Jesus, for sure. Jesus was the best teacher ever, but yet he couldn't teach some people. Some people just wouldn't learn. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 44 through 46, Jesus gave two parables that are very close to what Solomon said in the Proverbs. He said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." In Proverbs 23:23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." That's what Jesus was teaching here. When you find the truth, it is so precious, right? It is so precious, and we must guard it. I was complimented not long ago by my neighbor. He's visited here a couple of times, and he's kind of researched the Church of Christ a little bit. And he said to me that the Church of Christ, he said he respected us because we treat God's word as a very precious, and we guard it. And so he wanted my opinion on a sermon. He wanted me to listen to a sermon that he had preached at a denomination and give him some feedback on what he, and to see if what he said was true. But the point is that that's the kind of attitude we must have, to treat the Word of God as precious. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. How many times in the Word of God are we instructed to do that? To guard it. And if we're willing to do that, that shows great wisdom. And we should be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes in this life in order to obtain it, and when we learn it, cling to it at all costs. Greg? Yes. Yes, it does sustain us. So we must continue to feed on it. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, I've read the Bible once, I see what it said, and then we go on our way. That's the man in James, right? That looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what type of person he is. We must continually read it, examine it, and compare ourselves by it. We see over and over in the New Testament the gospel preachers preaching the message, and many not although they heard it, it didn't have the desired effect. Stephen was stoned when he preached the truth. Those in Thessalonica, you know, ran Paul out of town. We read later that there were many believers. Those believers in Thessalonica were very faithful, but there were men who didn't want that message preached. In Acts 17 and verse 11, we read that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also, of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. They had this attitude, that the Word of God was precious to them. And they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. And when they learned that they were true, they took action. The fool hears the Word and then doesn't change anything about what he's doing. He's not willing to make application of it. In Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in his learning. The instruction that a wise man hears, he will keep. He will obey it. He will make application of it in his life. In Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. How foolish we are when we hear God's words and we don't obey them. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Having a humble attitude when someone corrects us. How many times have we heard a preacher say at the beginning of his sermon, if I say anything to you that you don't agree with, that isn't right, I'll count you as my friend if you come to me and correct me. And I hope that everyone that says that is sincere, but I haven't found that to be always the case. Sometimes when you correct someone, they're proud and they won't listen to that, what you say. Won't even listen to it. Won't even hear you. They can't hear you because they're too proud.
I've always appreciated the Proverbs, what Solomon had to say.
Yeah.
Find ourselves in the same kind of situation. We can be wise in what the scriptures teach, and we should, and we must be, if we're going to be pleasing before God. But Solomon asked for wisdom, God gave it to him. And sometimes we learn what the truth is, and for a period of time we're obedient to it. But we all know those who have learned the truth, and really learned the truth, but are no longer faithful. That happened to Solomon, and it can happen to us, and it does happen to the people all the time, always has.
Yes.
And I think about there in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 in particular, where he warned the children, you know.
Yep.
Learn the truth and when you're old, you won't depart. But he didn't listen to his own words.
Right.
And I wonder sometimes, we know what Solomon and how he had all those wives and concubines. But in the end, chapter 12 and I think verse 13 to 14, where he talked about, well, let me just see if, in conclusion, in chapter
verse 30,
chapter, 12 and verse 13, he says the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because that applies to every person. Saying that, and there's no doubt he meant what he said. These words are from God. But certainly we can learn from, and we should learn from Solomon, how easily it is to slip away if we sometimes just abandon the truth for whatever reason. And I wonder sometimes after, as he said in verses 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. Did he come back to his senses in the end? I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
We don't know. As far as I know, the scriptures doesn't say it.
No.
But it almost seems as though here's the end of it. He's saying, fear God and keep His commandments. We can hope that Solomon came to his senses and made everything all right with God. But we don't know. But we can do the same thing. And we've known people who have left the truth and then come back.
Yep.
And so we have that option. And Solomon had the option as well. Did he use that option? We don't know. You know, let's hope he did.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a lesson to be learned about the life of Solomon, how he lived and what he did and the things that he didn't do that he had taught other people to do.
No doubt. That's one of the big takeaways I think we want to learn from these lessons, is the fact that we can fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And the more we know of God's word, the more we may be tempted, right? We talked about a little bit, I think I mentioned Job, right? Have you considered my servant Job? God said to Satan. You know, Satan's considering all of you right now. And he's coming after you. So, you know, we need to be prepared. He came after Solomon. He knows our weaknesses and he exposes them. And that's what Satan does. But if we have the right attitude, we can repent, as Dale said. And let no man deceive himself, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:18. If any among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. You know, don't think that you know everything. Be willing to learn. Be willing to learn the word of God and to hold it fast. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. When we're too proud to hear someone correcting us, when we rebel against that, we're referred to as a fool in the Bible. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. The wise man will love the man who reproves him for his sin. Proverbs 9:8 says, anytime we have the opportunity to learn the truth and to improve ourselves, to make correction in the things maybe we're teaching or believing, practicing, we are wise when we exchange that for the truth. But in contrast to that, the fool, when he is corrected, he hates it. And he will hate the one who has corrected him. In fact, he will do everything he can to either avoid you or to speak against you. In Galatians 4:16, Paul asked the Galatians, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You know, David was a man after God's own heart. When Nathan came to him and he told him the parable, and David realized it was him, "Thou art the man," Nathan told him. David repented. David had a penitent heart. That's what part of what made him a man after God's own heart. He was willing to make correction. He knew he had sinned. He had committed grievous sin, killed a man, took his wife. And we know that he was able to make things right. Whether Solomon learned that and did the same at the end of his life, I don't know. But we must remember these lessons and learn from them. We don't have to commit the same mistakes that Solomon did. That's the point of reading these things. Learn. We can learn by reading God's word. That's the point. If we don't learn from God's word, we're going to have a hard life. And the way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs teaches us. But our attitude towards someone who corrects us, should be good. But a wicked man hardens his face. But as for the upright, he directeth his way. The question is, should we continue to teach someone who refuses to hear us? Solomon tells us, that we're wasting our time with some people. We continue to try and teach us when we try and continue to teach the scornful. He says, not only will they harden their face against the truth, but they'll attack the one that's teaching it. And again, the Bible calls this type of person a fool. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. But you know, Jesus taught the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7 and verse 6, he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." He later told his apostles when he sent them out, right? I think we mentioned this in another study. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14, "Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Solomon, or the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Read Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 48. What did the Jews do when Paul tried to teach them? They rejected it. And so Paul turned to the Gentiles. That's another example of this. They heard the truth, but were too foolish to obey it. They were stubborn. In Matthew 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." There comes a point when our teaching isn't going to have the effect. Hopefully, this person will experience reap what he's sowing. Hopefully, this person will be like the prodigal and come to himself. But when we continue to go after and try to teach that person, we're wasting our time. Jesus said it. Solomon said it. You know, we can learn, as I said, by hearing the word of God, by listening to its instruction and heeding to it. But some people don't learn that way. Some people have to learn the hard way. We can't, some people can't look at what someone else did and see what happened and learn from that and avoid it. I think I've said before, I was the youngest child in my family. So I tried to learn from my siblings' mistakes. I saw when they did something and got punished for it, so I tried not to repeat their mistake. I can't say that I was perfect by any means. I got in my share of trouble. Okay, but this should be our attitude. Learn, you know, we don't have to learn everything the hard way. In Deuteronomy 25, you know, there were certain people that God instructed them, you know, if they don't listen, they need to be beaten. They were instructed, 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. But this is a way of teaching someone. They didn't learn by instruction, so they'll learn by receiving stripes. In Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Sometimes, a fool will learn less from his punishment than the wise will learn from instruction. Proverbs 17:10. Sometimes a person will rebel against God's law and civil law to the point that he's put in prison. Prison is for the man who cannot learn by any other way. But unfortunately, too many that are in prison only learn how to be better criminals. They don't really learn the lesson that's intended. Such men are fools. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools, Proverbs says. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. It's necessary. God has ordained government to punish the wicked. Paul said in Romans, I believe it's chapter 13 and verse 3, that the law is there and it's a terror to those who are unrighteous, right? That the law is not a terror to us who are righteous, but it's put in place, it's ordained by God to punish the wicked. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, Paul instructed Timothy that even in the church, that they that sin, they were to be rebuked before all, that others may also fear. Part of the point of punishing and discipline, even in the church, is not only to bring the sinner back and to correct them, but to warn others. Because hopefully others will see and learn and not have to do the same thing and experience it for themselves. But continued rebellion leads to destruction. Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The person that continues to rebel against God's word will eventually destroy himself. God has given us commands for our own good. He didn't give us commands because he hates us. He gave us the commands because he loves us. We've all known and seen people who have had good lives until they fall back into sin. And we've seen their families destroyed. We've seen them lose their jobs. You know, this happens with people who become involved in drugs, in alcohol, in fornication, adultery. All of these are examples of sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. And that is a principle that is in God's word, that we will reap what we sow in this life and in the life to come. Again, remember that Proverbs is really focused on your life here on earth, not so much eternity. We can certainly make the application to eternity. But the point of the Proverbs is really that your life here on earth can be better by listening to God, by receiving his instruction. Because God's commandments for us are for our good here on earth. In Galatians 6:7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, this was a principle that you can read in Hosea 8:7. Again, he that sows to the wind shall reap the whirlwind. We always reap more than what we sow. And again, this is a universal principle of God. In Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Again, those that refuse to listen to instruction, the Bible calls a fool. What is our attitude when we receive instruction? Do we have the right heart? When we hear maybe the things that we believe regarding salvation, regarding the church, are we willing to make corrections, or do we despise the one who's giving the instruction? Again, we could read, I won't take the time, but in Matthew chapter 7, again, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the foolish man, how he built his house upon the sand, and he refused to listen. But at the end of that Sermon on the Mount, that was his point. Whoever hears these words and makes the application to them is like the wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And the foolish man doesn't listen to these words, but builds his house upon the sand. So when we receive instruction, do we swell up in anger? Do we lash back and attack? We do some research. Find out about this guy that's saying these things. I'm sure we can find some dirt on him. Do we leave the congregation? The elders are on me. I can't believe they're telling me I have to attend every service. Who do they think they are? Maybe they leave the church altogether and then speak badly about the Church of Christ. We see it all the time. These are the attitudes that people have. Not in the world, in the church. Because where do the people from the church come from? These are sinful attitudes. These are attitudes maybe that they didn't learn as a child. We have a responsibility as parents to teach our children. You know, and we see it. It's natural. When a child is corrected, their natural instinct is to become angry. Their natural instinct is to rebel, to pout, right? Some people never grow up. They act the same way as adults as they did as children. They never really learned the correct way to receive correction. We must be willing to be humble enough, mature enough to receive correction. If we aren't, it will be to our own destruction in this world. We must be humble enough to receive correction, to receive criticism, and to objectively examine it. And if it's true, to make the corrections. If it's not true, we examine it. But we don't rebel against the one who's trying to correct us. Again, I mentioned the way of the transgressor is hard. This is a principle set forth here in Proverbs. In Proverbs 13 and verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Most people think that being a Christian is difficult. And we would all admit, you know, the scriptures teach that the way of salvation is narrow. Jesus taught that, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And sometimes it includes persecution. In the first century especially, Christians faced death as a result of being a Christian. It requires abstinence, no doubt, from the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. But all that being said, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In 1 John 5 and verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." The way of the Christian, if we look at it as that is the hard way, it's really short-sighted. Proverbs teaches us that it's the way of the transgressor that is hard. Again, we could look at the types of sins in this world, and we see it all the time. The drunk, whether we talk about the drunkard, the fornicator. I mean, Don's made this point before. We don't have to worry about getting AIDS if we're not, doing drugs, homosexuality, these types of sins. Those sins, those consequences were put in place by God. I'm quite convinced of that. God has made it so that the way of the transgressor is hard. We should thank God that the way of the transgressor is hard, because that will lead more people to turn away from it and back towards God. If the way of the transgressor was not hard, there would be no motivation for him to pick himself up, to come to himself, to return to his Father. And that is the way God has made it. Christians are not to envy sinners, Proverbs tells us. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. You know, if we envy sinners, eventually we'll be joining them. Eventually we'll be committing the same sins that they're committing. But you know what? There'll come an end to that season. Right? We remember the good thing about Moses. Moses in Hebrews 11, in that hall of fame of faith, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We must look beyond this temporal world and the temporary pleasures that we can receive by following after sin, and realize there's something better, not only in this life, but yes, in the life to come. Moses made that choice, and we know that that was the right decision. Moses appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know he has eternal life because of his decision. He could have stayed in Egypt. He could have been the next Pharaoh. And he would not have been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had a hard life, no doubt. Leading the people, a stiff-necked people, out of Egypt, it cost him going into the Promised Land because he lost his temper with them, because he struck the rock, because he disobeyed God. But that was on him. But that was his choice, and he lived with it. But that was the right choice. And he had a respect for the recompense of the reward. Do you have a respect for the promise of God of eternal life? Too many ignore that promise and just look for the reward here. Again, back in Deuteronomy 6, God gives his commandments to man for his own good. And the man of God, the man who obeys the word of God, preserves himself from evil. I'm going to skip ahead here because we're basically out of time, but we may have a chance, but look at those consequences of sin. Civil punishment, shortened life, creating enslaving habits, immorality, and the consequences of those things. Drinking, loss of jobs, family, self-respect. We're dependent on others the rest of our life for just basic necessities. We have increased strife in our life. We may face prison, disease, those that are abusers of drugs, addiction, poverty, crime, mothers of babies who are already addicted to drugs. Is that a good life? People make their life so hard because the way of the transgressor is hard. And that is true. Greed, laziness, sins of the tongue. Anybody have a friend that's a gossip? Not for very long. That gossip's going to be alone. They're going to be ostracized. They're going to be without friends, and they'll be isolated. But the prodigal son is really the lesson. The prodigal son is the one that said to his father, "Give me my inheritance now, before you've died. Let me go spend it." And that's exactly what he did. And when all the money was gone, all the friends were gone. When all the money was gone, he was laying there in a pig pen. Nothing to eat and no one willing to feed him. And he came to himself. At that point, we have a choice. Dale mentioned that. We can realize our condition. We can repent of those things. The prodigal son did. He came back to his father. Thank God we have that opportunity. Thank God the way of transgressors is hard, because that's what can lead a man back to God. Thank you for your attention.